Coming up on Encouragement Live, is gambling a way to get rich quick? Many people have found out the truth about that the hard way. Dr. Rex Rogers, the president of SAT7, joins us to talk about it tonight on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wylie, Texas, Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of topics. And the topic we're talking about tonight, I think, is a very important one. It's the subject of gambling. It was once considered a moral evil, a sin that Christian mothers warned their sons and daughters about, and then in 1988, Congress passed the Federal Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, which opened the floodgates, helped introduce a wide segment of Americans to gambling, and we know what the rest of that is. Dr. Rex Rogers is with me tonight. He is the president of SAT7. They are a ministry sharing the good news of Jesus Christ through satellite television and internet into the Middle East and North Africa. Rex, it is always a joy to have you with us on the broadcast.
Thank you, Don. It's a privilege.
And you have written a couple of books, Christian Liberty, Living for God in a Changing Culture. You were the president of Cornerstone University for many years. But one of your books that you've written is called Gambling, Don't Bet on It. And that book is available on Amazon. I'm intrigued with the title and how you came to write that book. Tell us about that.
Well, it goes back to 1996. It's actually my first book, and I have a doctorate in political science, so I'm kind of tuned into those kinds of things, even though at that time I wasn't teaching. I was an administrator. But I noticed that all of a sudden we just had this wave of gambling going on and gambling interests in the country. I got into it and realized it was stemming from, as you mentioned, the 1988 Federal Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, which meant Indian casinos, basically.
Yeah,
but
and
that really began to break down the dam, if you will, and it's just a massive promotion that grew from there. And I just had to do something about it. I had to read about it. Had to figure out my own thoughts on the matter. So it was fun kind of doing that book. The book came out in 96 and was redone in 2003.
And it is still available again on Amazon, titled Gambling, Don't Bet on It, written by Dr. Rex Rogers. Rex, there was a Supreme Court ruling in 2018, Murphy versus the NCAA. Talk about how that impacted legalized sports betting.
Well, that's the one that kind of blew the top off, and that's only been 6 years ago. But in that ruling, you know, up till then, the major professional leagues like NFL, MLB, NBA, et cetera, and of course the NCAA and college level were all adamantly against sports gambling because their fear that gambling would taint the sport,
yeah,
and ruin the fairness of athletic competition, the integrity of the game.
As I recall, there was
the Supreme Court's ruling in 2018. It just basically opened up sports betting for any state in the country.
Yeah, and that's been a proliferating thing these days. Now, some of you may have been harmed by gambling, or maybe some of you are even addicted to gambling, and we're going to talk with Rex about that, whether addiction to gambling is a thing. The toll-free number, if you'd like to call us and talk about this tonight, is 855-586-LIFE. That is 855-586-5433. You can learn more about the ministry of SAT7 by going to their website, sat7usa.org. As I mentioned, their ministry reaches into the Middle East and North Africa, a very troubled part of the world these days. And they are presenting the truth of Jesus Christ there using satellite television, a remarkable thing, in several different languages, and also interacting with people online. And we'll be back with Dr. Rex Rogers right after this on Encouragement Live.
We are 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the seminary's motto, Teach Truth, Love Well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu. Crossflix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based shows for the entire family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses, such as Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to a community and join others on their spiritual journey.
Crossflix partners with the SEAL Future Foundation and Bless IL to support American and Israeli veterans and families suffering from trauma.
Crossflix, educate, entertain, and inspire.
Tonight we're talking about the subject of gambling. Dr. Rex Rogers has written a book about it. It's titled Gambling, Don't Bet on It. And if you have a question or a comment on the subject tonight, we welcome your phone calls at 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. And Rex, it wasn't too long ago that professional baseball great Pete Rose, who was banned from the Hall of Fame for life from gambling on his own team's games, reintroduced the question of sports gambling to everyday conversation. Talk about that, if you will.
Yeah, Pete passed away in his 80s a couple of weeks or so ago, and that kind of brought everything back. It's a sad story because clearly this man was a fantastic baseball player. I grew up in Ohio. I grew up watching Charlie Hustle in Cincinnati Reds and loved the sport and loved to watch him. But he did gamble eventually, not just gamble, but he gambled on his own games. Now, it's true that he didn't gamble in a way that would result in him making money if his team lost, but he still broke the rules. And in baseball in particular, there was a huge fear, again, of protecting the integrity of the game. If anybody can gamble on a game, a player or a referee, then, you know, what do you got? You've got professional wrestling, something that's just a show.
Yeah. And I remember the Black Sox scandal from way back early in the 1900s in baseball. And that sort of really, I think, led to the whole Professional Amateur Sports Protection Act and maybe some things even prior to that.
Well, it did. 1919 in the World Series. I don't know if you were around then, Don.
No, I was. That. Thankfully, I was not.
But excuse me.
Yeah, I got choked up over that one, too.
I got a cough. Anyways, excuse me. I think that's why baseball in particular was so strongly opposed, so vigorous, and each commissioner has said no to Pete Rose's pleas and appeals. Now, maybe eventually he'll be put in the Hall of Fame. But baseball stuck by this because baseball, of all the sports, labored with this history where they had this huge scandal where eight players on the Chicago White Sox were accused of allegedly throwing the games, the World Series, to benefit a gambling syndicate. And even though in 1921 they were acquitted, they were banned for life from the Hall of Fame. And then later, several of them did admit that they were involved in this thing. They did this.
Yeah. One of those was Shoeless Joe Jackson. I remember that. The saying was, say it ain't so, Joe. I do remember reading about that. My dad was born in 1918, so he was just around then. When we come back from our break, I want to talk about how historically Christians and the church have viewed gambling and even talk about the Roman soldiers gambling at the foot of the cross over who would get the robe that Jesus wore when he was crucified. We're talking about a subject tonight that's a sensitive subject and important subject, one that people may disagree on, but we welcome your comments, your questions. 855-586-LIFE is our toll-free number. That's 855-586-5433. Dr. Rex Rogers has written a book that's titled Gambling, Don't Bet on It. That book has been revised recently, or actually a few years ago. It is available on Amazon.com. And we'll be back with Rex and more of our conversation after this. CrossFlix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based movies and shows for the whole family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses such as Jerusalem, the Eternal City, and Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to your own community and join others on their spiritual journey. You may join as an individual or as a church and develop connections like never before.
CrossFlix has partnered with the Seal Future Foundation and Bless IL to support brave American and Israeli military veterans and their families suffering from trauma. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a long-standing one of strength and divine connection, and one that must continue to be nurtured.
When you join CrossFlix, you'll see firsthand the amazing work you'll help support, providing encouragement and hope to American and Israeli veterans and families.
CrossFlix.com. Educate, entertain, and inspire.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in the people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's sat7usa.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. We're back on Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins. One of the members of our team, Brad Smithart, has produced this music and other easy listening music like it. You can Google Brad Smithart online and download his music. It makes a good Christmas gift. Brad and Nikki and Rodney and Keith and Kathy are members of our team who are not here with us tonight, but Danny and Brent and Chris and Cora are. And our toll-free number again is 855-586-5433. Dr. Rex Rogers with us. He is with Sat7, their web address, sat7usa.org. Rex, talk about how gambling has been historically viewed by Christians in the church.
Christians very early on, you can see this in Tertullian and others in the first century, rejected gambling. They talked about gambling that was very much activity of the Roman soldiers, didn't want to be associated with it. And, again, there's no 11th commandment, so to speak, in the Bible. There's no statement that says thou shalt not gamble.
Right.
But there's plenty of other reasons why we can draw from Scripture that we can say no. We can talk about that if we want to. But, yeah, early Christians were very much against it. And that continues on through the whole church history, through the Middle Ages, through the Reformation, on into early America and middle America.
Yeah, now it's interesting you brought up Roman soldiers because didn't the Roman soldiers actually gamble at the foot of the cross over who would receive Jesus' seamless robe? Weren't they casting lots, and would that be considered gambling?
Well, they weren't gambling. They were casting lots, which was it's almost like us drawing straws today. And it's the idea of depending on the fact that, we're finite beings, we can't predict every outcome. And so they would have sheep's knuckle bones, the origin of dice, or they have some other means of casting lots. But all they were doing is determining who won the robe. They didn't put any money in the pot to say, okay, I'll put down $100, you put down $100, and we'll see what happens. There was no gambling. It was just a decision-making tool.
I remember years ago doing Life Perspectives programs with Tom Techmeyer of Techmeyer Financial Services of Omaha, Nebraska, as a member of the board of Back to the Bible when I was there. And Tom used to talk about this topic with me. And one of his comments was, gambling, by definition, is a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses, and you have a better chance of losing than winning. Would that be a distinction that you would see as well?
Oh, absolutely. The only one that wins in the casino are those that own the casino. And I tell people all the time, if you're going to gamble, at least don't gamble on these state lotteries. They're the worst odds out there. You actually get better odds in the casino, but it's not a fair playing table. Again, they're always going to get their get their edge, get their take. So you lose money over time.
Yeah, very important to recognize that. Now, again, we talked about sports gambling earlier. Some people view this as just a game, a way to have fun. But I think from what you've said, you would consider it to be actually sinful. And Scripture would give us some principles to go on that.
You know, I really struggled with that when I wrote the book. I didn't want to sort of invent a sin, if you will.
Yeah.
And accuse people of doing something wrong that God never said was wrong. And there is no commandment. Like I said, there's no statement that says, thou shalt not gamble.
It's interesting. But, I had written down, is there an 11th commandment, thou shalt not gamble, on my notes.
Yeah,
and you said the same thing.
You know, there's no statement. That's one of the things I want to ask the Lord someday. There's no statement in Scripture that says that slavery is bad or wrong.
Yeah.
Now, you think, wow, that's a basic thing. Shouldn't that be there? But for some reason, it's not. Now, there's a lot in Scripture, starting with we're all made in the image of God, and we're all loved by God, that would lead us to believe and say with conviction that no human being should be a slave, ever, from
right.
a Christian point of view.
Yeah,
you can do the same with gambling. That gambling is poor stewardship. Gambling is consensual theft. For you to win or me to win, a lot of other people have to lose.
Hmm.
And they don't want to. It is a way of, I guess, you don't invest money. You just put money out there by virtue of chance, and you're not depending on your own faculties or your own knowledge. I mean, I know there's some games like poker where more knowledge is involved than chance, but it all comes back to it's just what happens, happens. And it can be very seductive kind of activity.
Yeah, the stewardship issue is a big one. And I do want to get into the issue of addiction to gambling. Do you think there is such a thing as gambling addiction? I know I've heard some people say there isn't.
Well,
but
that's, again, something that I really struggled with when I wrote that book. I'm not a psychologist or a theologian, and I went to friends who are, both of those, talked about the sin aspect of it that we've already mentioned, and we talked right. about this addiction thing. Certainly gambling, and you can say this a lot of other things, you can get into it so deeply that it takes on addictive type characteristics. It can control and begin to control your life. But I stopped short in the book of calling it addiction because I discovered or felt that that was always, it's almost like a way out.
Yeah.
You can say I'm addicted, it's beyond my control. Nothing I can do about it. And you say, no, wait a minute, that's not really the case. God gives you choices. Now, maybe you've gotten so deep into it that you've lost your ability to make good choices. You need an intervention or friends. But you start out making choices, moral choices, about your own involvement. So, no, I didn't call it an addiction as such, but it certainly has addictive characteristics and danger.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it, Rex. Again, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I've worked with them before, and I think some of them indicated, just as you have, it has very strong addictive tendencies. Maybe some of our listening family tonight have gotten hooked in this thing, and you've basically become kind of a servant to gambling, and maybe God has helped you break free from it, and you've been able to make choices to do that. We'd love to hear your testimony tonight. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. Rex mentioned the scriptures, and Rex, you put a list together of a number of scripture passages that seem to have a bearing on this. Maybe you could point us to these and help us see how God's word has a bearing on how we need to make a choice about whether or not to gamble.
Well, in the Ten Commandments, of course, we're commanded not to steal.
Yeah.
And from my perspective, when you get involved in gambling, it's not like your work or work ethic where you're producing something of value from your own efforts. No, you're just putting money at risk and you're taking from someone else. Like I said, it's consensual theft, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
There is in Proverbs two different verses. They're almost identical. Proverbs 12:11, Proverbs 28:19, it says, whoever works the land will have plenty of bread or food, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty.
Huh.
Now, you can follow worthless pursuits. In other words, it says, I always think that's ironic, plenty of poverty. We think of poverty as being an empty bucket.
Right.
It says plenty of poverty.
Yeah.
And, you'll have that with gambling if you stay in it long enough. You will always lose. I had a guy call me on a radio program one time and said, Hey, every year my wife and I go to the Bahamas. She shops and I gamble. What's the difference? And I said, well, for one thing, she comes home with hats and you come home with nothing.
Right. Good way to look at it. And the reality is a lot of people have lost money they could not afford to lose in gambling. It's interesting. Proverbs 12:11 says the one who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. And the plenty of poverty is in 28:19. I would think both of those are true. One is probably the motivation. The person doesn't have sense enough to exercise wisdom, which is the whole point of Proverbs. But the end result is what we see in 28:19. And a lot of people have gone bankrupt. A lot of people have lost houses, lost cars, and other things. And again, as I mentioned, maybe some of you have been down that road and God's given you the victory, or maybe some of you are struggling with it and you'd like for Rex and me to talk with you and encourage you and pray with you about it. We'd love to hear from you at 855-586-5433. Rex, you've touched on a number of Old Testament verses. I think there's some from the New Testament that have a bearing on this as well.
Yeah, I think so. And it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Mm.
And people say, well, it's just fun. It's just games. And I say, fine, take the money out of the casino and see how many people will continue to go there.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's about the money. And I've had friends that got into sports gambling on, you know, Sunday football, love the game of football. And pretty soon they can't think about football because they can only think about the $500 they have at risk.
Yeah.
And the money destroys their enjoyment of the game.
Yeah.
And they're worried about the money. It's about money.
Yeah. And money and worry are exactly what Jesus ties together in Matthew 6. Three times there he says, stop being anxious. And that's in the context of a verse that says, no man can serve two masters, the one you quoted, verse 24. And then he also says in 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It seems to me it's impossible to seek his kingdom and righteousness first if we're putting money at risk in the casino or in the sports betting world.
Well, that's historically not only what the Christian church thought, that's what American culture thought all the way up through into at least the 1970s or 80s. You can go back to 1960s. When JFK was president and his brother RFK was attorney general, and RFK, remember, they're Democrats and they're considered liberal, all this. RFK gave a major speech against organized gambling nationally as a major moral evil threatening the country.
Yeah.
They thought that way. Now, nobody thinks that way anymore. Now it's just a game. Let's everybody go.
Yeah, it indicates some of the terrible decline in our culture today. I had Irvin Lutzer on the program not too long ago, and he's written a book called The Eclipse of God. In that, he talks about how we've minimized God, maximized pleasure, maximized a lot of other things. And Rex, I think I think your book is a very up-to-date book, even though you wrote it quite some time ago, because it's symptomatic of the world we're living in today.
I think so. The arguments all still stand. Some of the stats might be a little dated, but the arguments still stand because we've embraced this thing. A hook, line, and sinker. It was interesting after 2018, the Supreme Court case on sports gambling, and all these major professional, like NFL and others, agencies against it. As soon as the Supreme Court did that, all of those major sports associations got in and invested in these new apps like FanDuel and DraftKings and BetMGM. So NFL and others, MLB even, are making money now on people sports gambling on their games, even as we keep Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame, which is another...
Very, very ironic there, yeah. Coming up on a break on Encouragement Live, Dr. Rex Rogers of SAT7, the president of that great organization, I'd like to tell you about what they are doing. They're having an incredible impact in the Middle East and North Africa, sharing the gospel in a variety of languages, motivating and encouraging Christians, including in places like Iran and Lebanon and other places where there's great conflict today. Go to their website, check it out, SAT7USA.org. Pray for them, pray for that ministry. And if God leads you to support that ministry financially, I would strongly encourage you to do so. We'll be back with Dr. Rex Rogers right after these messages.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
And tonight, if you would like to talk with us about the issue of gambling, maybe a personal testimony, you do not have to use your real name. We can call you caller, or you can assume a name and just tell our call screeners that. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Dr. Rex Rogers has written a book titled Gambling, Don't Bet on It, and I would encourage you to visit Amazon.com to get a copy of that. And again, as I mentioned earlier, please check out the website, sat7usa.org, and learn a little bit more about that. Rex, you talked about Major League Baseball, historically the most resistant to gambling on the game. With the World Series going on right now, the NFL, obviously right in the middle of the season, college football become very big, and of course the NBA is just about to kick off their season. It seems like all these sports leagues are in some way now, including Major League Baseball, tied into gambling.
Oh, they are. Almost all of them own some portion of some of these apps, like I say, or FanDuel or DraftKings, things like that. There's a bunch of them now. And so does ESPN, by the way.
Yeah.
They have their own app even. Everybody's jumped in to get their piece of the pie, which is another reason, by the way, that state politicians, so many of them like this, because they're interested in taxing the casinos or other groups that they allow to have happen in their state. They want more money, as politicians pretty much always want more money. Yeah.
Native Americans have been able to build casinos, and a lot of people travel to those casinos, and they get special tax breaks from the government, and that's another huge source of gambling these days.
It is. It's still a major one. I mean, not all the Indian casinos are as successful as others. Some are considerably more successful. It's like anything else. They're better run, or what happens with them, better located. But they're all making money. And certainly here in Michigan, where I am, we have several that are adding, you know, new casino space, or adding hotels, adding parking garages, They're making money.
There's a big push in Texas to legalize gambling, and especially here in North Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, there's been a big push for gambling. In fact, at least one of the owners of a major sports franchise has basically brought a gambling group into the mix, and as a result of that, there's been a big political push here. What do you think we as Christians ought to be doing about this? Is there anything that we can do in terms of what this is doing to our society?
Well, I actually have some Christian friends that gamble, that go to Vegas once a year, that are involved in social gambling. I don't agree with them. Respectfully think they're making the wrong choices. I would encourage our listeners, especially that don't gamble, don't get started.
Yeah.
Don't fool. This is a time bomb. It's in a pretty package. It's a snake in the grass. It will bite you at some point. And it's like sometimes people talk about drinking and saying, well, I can drink because I never get drunk. I can handle it. Well, you never know if you're the guy that you're really going to get slammed after two drinks, and that can happen. And same with any kind of drug. And gambling is like that. It is highly attractive, if not addictive, seductive. And it can suck you in, and pretty soon you're upside down in your bank accounts, and you're beginning to think about ways you can get money from relatives, and down you go.
What segments of the United States population would you see as the most susceptible to sports gambling?
Well, sports gambling, it's young people. A few years ago, it's still going on, but it's not as popular as it was. There was Texas Hold'em, a game with cards, like a poker-type game. Was huge. I mean, just huge in the university. But sports gambling gets started, even when people are younger. Supposedly on these apps, you have to be 18. Well, how do they know what age you are if you know how to use the app and you got your dad's credit card? That can happen. But even if that doesn't happen and you're only involved in what's called social or casual gambling, meaning you're gambling with friends, but you're doing it over your favorite sports teams, and you're teaching that kid that what matters about the sport is the money and is the gambling. And so it bothers me when major sports talk shows now kick over and talk about gambling. And even sometimes the anchor persons, the stars of the shows, the analysts will talk about what they're doing in betting. And I don't like that at all.
Yeah. Very frustrating to see that happening these days. If you have a question or a comment, the number is 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. Our first call tonight comes from Cornelius in Mississippi. Good evening, Cornelius. Good to hear from you. Go ahead.
Well, Don and Rex, I'm in Alexandria, Louisiana, so I don't know how you got Mississippi.
That was my mistake. I should know you're from Louisiana. Yep, I know right where you're from. Well, go right ahead with your comment.
That's all right. We got a gambling casino called Paragon that's right down the road from us in Marksville, Louisiana. They say if y'all bring gambling over to Texas, it's going to kill them. But anyway, I'm going to go with my comment, and I'm going to have y'all look at this. You know, when Jonah was on that ship trying to go away from Nineveh, they cast lots and stuff. So, in a way, I wonder how y'all feel about lots, and this would be kind of a devil's advocate question. All those people that are employed at those gambling establishments, some of those are Christians, and they give to the church and everything. So okay. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but that's my questions, and pray for me. I'm going to court Tuesday. So God bless y'all, Don and Rex.
Well, we're going to pray for you here in just a minute, Cornelius, and as you go to court. But a couple of issues that Cornelius raised, one of which, Rex, you touched on earlier, distinctive about casting lots. But then there's the issue about Christians maybe working in a gambling casino and giving to the church out of their money. Would you address both of those?
Well, 100 years ago, they used to talk about what's called tainted money. And there are churches then, there are churches yet today, that if they know the source of your money and they think it's morally unacceptable, some of those churches will turn it down. And the reason is they're not trying to be holier than thou. They're simply trying to say, look, we as a church or a nonprofit, we have a moral reputation a Christian reputation we need to maintain, and we just can't be associated with this in this way, even if that person is giving, you know, out of the generosity of their heart. Now, the person who's giving, I don't, you know, we don't know their heart and how that, but I would say, look, if you're going to gamble, you're already playing with fire. As I said, it's a snake in the grass.
Yeah.
And I know that it's difficult in some areas, like Upper Peninsula of Michigan, there's not as many jobs, and it's the only jobs available in the casino. I've been told that by different people. It's very difficult. So I'm not going to throw a rock at those people on how they're trying to make a living. But again, the enterprise of gambling is not one that I think Christians, for the most part, ought to be involved in. We ought to be praying for ways in which we can see it reduced, not expanded.
Now, you mentioned the attitude of churches in this issue, and I want to come back to that. Before we do, let's take a moment and pray for Cornelius. He's off the line now, but he has a court date coming up. And Rex, while you're praying for him, would you pray for our country? We have an election coming up. We encourage people to vote. We are not a political program, so we don't tell people how to vote, but we encourage people to vote their Christian convictions, and we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for Israel and what's going on there in the Middle East. Would you lead us in prayer for Cornelius and also these other issues?
Father God, we thank you that we can come before you in prayer tonight. We thank you that you hear our prayers, if we pray in faith, believing that you answer our prayers according to your will. Father, I pray for Cornelius and whatever this court case involves, give him wisdom and his attorneys, and pray that justice might properly be served.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray for our country. Our country is certainly in trouble. We know it has to do with spiritual matters more than political, and that the roots of our problems are spiritual as we walk away from who you are and what you said is good and right and what will bless our nation and cause us to flourish. So we pray that you'd protect this nation, protect our people, pray that we might see a reawakening, an awakening really of commitment and desire to engage with the God of the universe, the God of the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for your long suffering, for your blessing. Thank you certainly for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rex. And we appreciate your call tonight, Cornelius. Good to hear from you. And friend, if you'd like to call us again, you have a comment, a question, 855-586-5433. Rex, you mentioned churches and gambling. And as I recall, there are a number of different churches and denominations that actually have bingo games as a fundraising technique. I wonder if you'd comment on that.
Well, there again, that's not something, one of my favorites. I wouldn't recommend it. I always look at those games that, you know, where they have to put money down, raffles, all those things. You think if you have to go through all those hoops and gimmicks to get people to give to your nonprofit enterprise, then I'm wondering how good is your nonprofit enterprise? I mean, shouldn't they just write a check, you know, to support if you're doing something good? Why do they have to do it as a transaction to get something out of it? Now, if bingo is simply a game and there's not money changing hands, then that's what it is. It's just a game. It's a harmless game. But gambling, you know, in casinos, there's umpteen different kinds of games in there. Why are they games? Because there's different personalities, different people. Some are attracted to the roulette wheel. Some are attracted to the brainier things like poker. You know, it's just different. And so they're set up to attract all the personalities to get you to depart from what's in your pocket.
Yeah, very important principles that we're talking about tonight. We have one more segment to go on our program tonight. Dr. Rex Rogers is with us. Rex, talk about the languages that Sat7 is broadcasting in, telecasting in, into the Middle East.
We're satellite television broadcasting, also now online. We're in the three major languages, predominant languages of the Middle East, North Africa, and that's, of course, Arabic. It's about 60%. Persian or Farsi, that's Iran. And then, of course, Turkey, Turkish. And then there are countries around Iran, around Turkey, that speaks those languages. They're Turkic languages, or over even into Afghanistan with the Taliban.
And we'll be right back.
We are at a time when our society is falling apart, and we must cling to the cross of Christ. The Witness webcast is a production of Crucible of Faith Ministries. And here, you will find sound teaching and expert commentary that will anchor you on the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Visit us today at www.crucibleoffaith.ca and find the answers you will need for such a time as ours today. That's www.crucibleoffaith.ca.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Tonight on Encouragement Live, we're talking about the subject of gambling. Dr. Rex Rogers with me. He is the president of Set7. And Rex, you were mentioning to us as we went to the break, and I committed the cardinal sin of putting you on the spot without giving you enough time to talk about it. So talk a little bit more about the impact of satellite television and why that's such a strategic way to get through where a lot of different ways to communicate the gospel are blocked by the people in power.
Well, I think I was ending there with the idea that the Iranian language, which is called Persian or Farsi, is the dominant one. And then in Afghanistan, where the Taliban, of course, is ruling, they speak Dari, but Dari is a dialect of Farsi. So our programs that are broadcast in Farsi reach the entire nation of Afghanistan, and the Dari speakers there can understand most of that programming, which is pretty cool. Amazing thing about satellite TV, I've been doing it 16 years, I'm still amazed, is that it's virtually uncensorable, meaning that there's no real way to stop it. So if you have a TV, you have a satellite dish, and almost everybody does over there, even the very poor, you can get any and all channels. And they don't even pay for the service like we do here, like, you know, whatever we have, a service or cable, whatever. It's called free to air. So they can get Sat7 among 100 other channels or 200 other channels in their language, and in the safety of their own home, whether it's in the middle of Saudi Arabia or it's in someplace like Iran or wherever else. Just it's really quite an incredible tool for such a time as this.
And it seems to me, Rex, this is a great place. Again, we're talking about people putting their money into things that have no eternal value. This is a place where you are literally investing for eternity. And Scripture has a lot to say about the rewards that God provides for us in heaven for that kind of investment.
Well, I think so. And that's, again, where you think about people who gamble and we would just call it fun. There's lots of ways to have fun and even spend money on entertainment that you wouldn't have had to spend without risking getting sucked into a larger commitment. I mean, sometimes people waste money on golf or on going to the movies, but they usually don't become, addictive like gambling can. And gambling is one of those things that if you like it, you know, you get a hit or you get down.
Yeah,
and they call it chasing the losses, and you just feel compelled to, well, next time is, you know, my turn. Next time is my turn. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And people, of course, can lose their, not only their incomes, they can lose their families and their whole structure of their lives if they get, it's like any other kind of thing, like substance abuse or alcoholism, any of those things.
Now, there are a couple of times of the year that seems like gambling is really a huge thing. The Super Bowl, for example, and March Madness coming out down to the Final Four in college basketball. Talk about those.
Well, Super Bowl every year in January is the number one gambling day, a single day worldwide, Super Bowl. It's just massive. It's not just Americans. And now with the internet, you know, it becomes international. So that's it. But now with March Madness, of course, that lasts for a whole month. And you got lots of teams. And they don't just gamble anymore, by the way, on who wins or who loses the football game tomorrow. They do what they call prop gambling. They have these prop initiatives where you gamble on whether or not the guy is going to complete five passes in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Anything that has a statistic in it that might be of interest to you and entice your dollars, that's what they have available now. And they might be $5 or $80. You know, they might be something you consider affordable, but pretty soon you're into it big.
Yeah. Do you think Christians are really caught up into gambling? How common do you think this is among believers?
I think it's more common than people realize. I don't think they talk about it. Again, I have some friends of my own who I know they go to Vegas every year. They talk about it. They don't think it's a big deal or wrong. And they say they go there because they like the restaurants. Okay, fine. There's lots of restaurants everywhere. But they go there and they gamble. And they're ones who say, well, I set a limit. Okay, fine. You know, I'm going to go there and lose $1,000. And after that, I'm finished. But I don't get it. I just think you're playing with fire. So yeah. For me, from my perspective, it's not a good choice and the right thing to do, but they're the ones that have to come to that conclusion.
I have a friend who he and his wife will go to a gambling casino to eat a meal because they get the meal very inexpensively. They will not put their money out for gambling. He wouldn't bet a quarter or a nickel, he says, and I take his word for it. But he says, hey, we can get a really nice meal for almost nothing there because they're using that as a loss leader. What do you think of that?
Well, he's right. Excuse me. He's right. I mean, I'm told I haven't been to Vegas for quite a while now, but I'm told that kind of perk is disappearing. But at any rate, it's still there in some of those places because you said it's lost leader. It's an enticement to get you in there, and you probably know that if you've been to Vegas, it can be else. You land in the airport, and there are slot machines in the airport.
Yeah,
you go to casinos and there's slot machines in the men's restroom. I don't know about the ladies, of course.
Wow.
And then they're everywhere. And you go to if you stay in a hotel there, they don't have big lobbies with lots of soft seating and all. No, they don't want you sitting around. They want you to be in the casino. And you go to a casino, by the way, there's no windows. Why? They don't want you to know about the passage of time.
Yeah.
There's no clocks. Okay. There's lots of cameras in those little bulbs up there on the ceiling watching you.
Yeah.
But there's no clocks and there's no windows.
Yeah. So the reality is I've never been to Vegas. I have been to Reno. We did a conference out there years ago. And we landed in Reno, and, man, they were everywhere. And I'm happy to say I didn't put a quarter in a slot. I didn't do any of that. But it was interesting the number of people you see just sitting there. And, I mean, very, you know, focused, very intent, hour after hour. Again, it seems like you say, there are people who say, well, I'm going to set aside $1,000. I can spare it, or $500, whatever, and yet it seems to me that sort of thing can very well grow. I want to turn the corner a little bit, Rex, and talk about if somebody's listening to us tonight and maybe they didn't feel comfortable calling, but they're really struggling with gambling. What would you say to that person in terms of if they've trusted Christ as Savior, how can you get the victory over this? How can you turn away from this?
Well, I'll say a couple of things. One is there are organizations in virtually every state. Usually they have the phrase problem gambling in their title. And problem gambling means you're having a problem. You know, you're struggling with this, but maybe you're not addicted. You know, you don't want to say that, or you're not pathological. That's another term, pathological gambling. but you're still having struggle, meaning you are upside down in your bank accounts. Maybe you have borrowed money from your sister. You can't pay it back. It's putting pressure on your marriage because your spouse doesn't agree, and et cetera, it goes. You need help and help quickly. And so these kinds of organizations have people who work there, not necessarily Christians, but they understand gambling. Some of them have been in it and out of it. And then specifically, hopefully you're involved in a good church.
Yeah.
And I would say go talk privately with your pastor and lay it right on the desk. You know, here's my problem.
Yeah.
I need help. And because you need, and that would be true of any kind of, you know, sin that we get ourselves into that we can't extricate ourselves. You need help. You can't do this alone. You don't have to do this alone. We know the Spirit of God lives within you, but there are Christians who will come around alongside you as accountability.
Yeah, an accountability partner is a really good thing in something like this. Somebody, and Rex, I like to talk about two sides of the same coin. One side is encouragement, positive reinforcement to do what's right, and then accountability to hold our feet to the fire if we're doing the wrong thing. And it seems to me that for a person who's trusted Christ to get into some kind of an accountability group, there are probably support groups that people could get into. This would be helpful as well. What do you think?
Well, I think that's, again, certainly the case. I think Scripture tells us to do that, to look out and to, it's what the whole point of the church is community. The body of Christ, that we can't make it on our own. We need people around us. So, I mean, getting involved in problem gambling, you say, I I'm embarrassed. Well, yeah, maybe. But I would rather be embarrassed and let somebody know that than to be in trouble to the point where, you know, you lose your marriage, you know, another year, or you lose your job. And this stuff happens.
Yeah.
By the way, fantasy sports?
Yeah.
Not all fantasy sports are gambling, but a lot of them also are. And you got to really be careful. And even if you enjoy fantasy sports, you can find yourself being sucked into sports gambling pretty easily that way, too.
Yeah. I want to mention one other thing as we come to the end of our program tonight, and that is the power to overcome something like gambling is available to people who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And we may be talking to someone tonight, you're listening, maybe driving in your car, and you realize, I haven't ever come to the place where I've trusted Christ as Savior. A friend, not only is forgiveness available, and we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you place your trust in Him, He not only will give you salvation and eternal life in heaven, but He'll give you the power through His indwelling Spirit to enable you to overcome things like this gambling problem we've talked about, or any other kind of an addiction or something of that nature. Rex, is just amazing, and I know you've seen it, and I've seen it as well, that God literally can turn people's lives around when they put their trust in Christ.
Absolutely. That's the answer to all of our problems worldwide, including what's going on in the Middle East.
Yep, and we would encourage you tonight to check out the website for SAT7. It's sat7usa.org. You can learn more about that great ministry and the impact they're having in places like Afghanistan and Lebanon, and even in the down in the area of Iran. Just amazing. People are coming to Christ. People are growing in Christ, and a great impact there. Again, visit the website. Pray about that ministry and pray for them, and pray about supporting them financially with your gifts. And make it a point to go to church tomorrow, a church that preaches and teaches God's Word. Dr. Rex Rogers, it's always a joy to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And again, that book is titled Gambling, Don't Bet on It. It's available on Amazon. It's written by Dr. Rex Rogers, who is with me tonight. For all of us who are a part of this program, this is Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins. We thank you for joining us, and pray for our ministry of Encouragement Live.